Have I been talking about Rodgers that much? Is this something that I've been doing to the point?
In Chicago, and he's doing this. I mean, that is what Bobby the Brain Heenan would call a ham and egger move.
What the heck's going on in Champaign, Illinois with Brett Bielema? They have a real shot to get to...
Frazier's got it! And the Big Ten Championship is in Champaign! They rush the floor!
And now, broadcasting live and local, from the 98.9 The Game Studios in Effingham, Illinois, it's The Starting Lineup with Travis Sparks.
What are we doing?
I'm going to drop the plans for this.
And Eric Fry.
Because they won a game, and they still will not be ranked again this season.
It's The Starting Lineup on 98.9 The Game.
What's up out there? Welcome in. Welcome in into the month of May as well. It's May 1st, 2024. How exciting. It would have been appropriate if I said that yesterday. It's going to be May. May's already here.
It is.
So, fortunately, we're going to start off the month of May with a short little show today because the St. Louis Cardinals are playing baseball once again. Three games in 24 hours or whatever it was. As doubleheader yesterday, they got one more game to close out the series with today with the Detroit Tigers. So we're only going to be here on a 98.9 for about 14 minutes or so before the pregame show bumps us off there. So we'll see whatever we can get to here on the Treasure Show, and then we'll clean things up in the podcast. So got some local sports to hit up on from yesterday. Got some action on the baseball diamond as well as the softball diamond, the ATC tournament. Finally getting delayed, but kicked off yesterday, and get this set for the schedule today as well. And we'll also be taking a look at the playoff action from last night. NBA, Stanley Cup playoffs. Had some series end, some series extended last night. And, well, actually, the two NBA games, series that we thought was going to be over, no, they didn't happen. So,
yep.
Extended to another day.
Thanks a lot.
And we'll also be ending up on some Major League Baseball as well, and any more college basketball news as well.
Before we get out of here, though, I want to let everyone know that later on tonight, after the Cardinals, Clippers Mavs will be right here in 98.9 The Game, game five of that series, tied at 2-2. 8:30 coverage starts
nice.
For that one.
Clippers and Mavericks. So yep. Tune in later on this evening for that. So there's no time really for any special imaging or anything. We need to get through and bust out what we can here in the show. So start off with some local sports from yesterday and last night. In high school baseball, it was Altamont picking up the win over Mulberry Grove 17-2. And this game only took four innings to complete due to all the runs being scored there. And it was Eli Miller getting the win on the mound, going all four innings there, only allowing four hits. And it was Schultz at the plate having three RBIs. Eli also had a couple RBIs at the plate as well. And Arnold drove in a pair as well for Altamont as they picked up the dub there. Satopolis getting the win over North Clay of 4-1. As North Clay was able to pound out seven hits, but only able to scratch across one run there in the bottom of the first inning. But that was all she wrote there. Topless picked up a run in the first, third, sixth, and a seventh inning for their four runs there. And it was Addis picking up the win on the mound and going four innings there for the Shoes. And Ian Jones got hit with the loss there. And Zimdars was the lone RBI man there for North Clay. It was Wizards 2 Straws picking up the W against the South Central 7-6. Marshall over Dietrich 7-2. Newton with a shutout over Nioga, 10-0 in the second game of their doubleheader. And we'll check in on how Newton did in their first conference game that they played before that Nioga game. And Charleston FEM, that game was bumped from the other day to yesterday, and we split a doubleheader in the Apollo. It was Charleston winning a pitcher's duel 1-0 in game one. Only run came there in the bottom of the fifth inning, and that was the only Trojan hit as well. FEM was able to scratch across four hits by Nichols, Coberline, Raditz, and Traub, but nothing to show for it across the plate, and it was Charleston one hit. Parker gets credit with the RBI there, and Bonsteller picked up the W on the mound and pitched good. Five innings, four hits, no earned runs, six strikeouts. And on the other side, a tough loss for Webb there, going six innings, only allowing that one hit, and the run was unearned, and a two walks in, six Ks. Then FEM bounced back in game two. They shut out Charleston 7-2-0 there. FEM got it started in the very first inning, put up a four spot, and never looked back. And this time it was a Charleston being held to a one hit there, as Nichols had a great game on the mound, going six in the third innings. Couldn't quite finish off the complete game, but only allowing that one hit, a couple walks, and a nine strikeouts. And Traub came in and closed the door for the final two outs there. Did have some traffic on the base pads, though. Had a couple of walks. But FEM closing out there, holding Charleston and down to one hit. Bonsteller was the only Trojan to pick up a hit in game two. It was Mattoon winning against Rantoul 5-0. It was Newton winning against Lawrenceville in eight innings, 3-2. Gus Bierman was the star of the game. He got the win on the mound and also the game-winning double in the eighth inning to give Newton the Little Illini win there. With Shelbyville winning against Warrensburg-Latham 10-7, and Clinton over Central A&M 4-0 in softball action there from yesterday in the NTC tournament there at Evergreen, or right here in town. Mm-hmm. That is, we had St. Anthony pick up their win against North Clay, a 12-0. This game only took five innings to complete, and it was also a five-inning no-hitter as well, as it was Wormsing and Ruhal combining for that no-hitter. Wormsing pitched the first four innings and a strikeout 10 batters, and Ruhal closed the things out there, picking up the final three outs and a strikeout in there as well. And Hatton drove one over the fence and had four RBIs to pace the attack there for St. Anthony in that one. In the other game, it was a South Central winning against Stanhope Brownstown of 15-0, and this one also only took four innings to complete. And South Central picked up four in the first and two, or nine in the second inning, I should say. And this one was a four-inning no-hitter for Tegan Webster there, and she also struck out 10 batters as well there for South Central. And it was Altamont winning against Dietrich, a 3-2 in a pitcher's duel there. And it was a Winds Two Straws victorious over Nioga 16-0 to advance to tonight's semifinals there. And Windsor putting up a 10th spot there in the third inning to pull them with the victory over Nioga. And elsewhere, it was Marshall winning against Tadopoulos, a 6-3. Casey got the win over Apala, 12-3. And it was Tuscola winning against St. T, 11-2-9. Boys tennis from yesterday, it was Tadopoulos winning against FEM 9-0. Highland winning against St. Anthony 5-4. Newton sweeping Shelbyville 9-0. And Mahomet sweeping Taylorville 9-2-0. On the track and field side, we had a couple of conference meets in the National Trail Conference meet over in Altamont at the grade school track. It was St. Anthony coming away with first place on the girls' side with 111 points, and that's the fourth straight NTC championship for St. Anthony on the girls' track and field side. North Clay finished in second place, and Altamont was third. Brownstown fourth, Nioga fifth, CHBC sixth, and Windsor Two Straws in a seventh. On the boys' side, it was Altamont taking home a first place there with 179 points. St. Anthony finished in second. CHBC was a third place. Nioga fourth, Dietrich fifth, North Clay sixth, Brownstown a seventh and eighth. Windsor Two Straws there. So congrats there to Altamont and St. Anthony pulling home conference championship. And on the South Central side, they had a conference meet there. It was North Mac in their home, getting a win on the girls' side, 117 points in first place. Carlinville was second, and in third place was Hillsboro there. And on the boys' side, it was Litchfield taking home first place. Staunton was second, and Carlinville was in third place. That was all the action that we had there from yesterday. Action today is St. Anthony at Neoga, Brownstown at CHBC, South Central at Salem, Cumberland at Decatur St. Theresa, Mount Carmel at Paris, Robinson at Olney. And on the softball diamond, you have St. Anthony taking on Altamont at 4:15. North Clay against Dietrich, also at 4:15 on the other diamond there at Evergreen. And it's a South Central against Windsor Stu Straws at 6 o'clock. And it's St. Elmo Brownstown going to be taking on Neoga. They're also at 6 o'clock. We also have a doubleheader with FEM and Taylorville matching up. Cumberland is at Okaw Valley. And have the Little Illini Conference meet in Newton today as well. So that's the schedule that we got. And if you want the full results and the full schedule, go up on the website, FEMradio.com, and take a look at that over there. But we got baseball coming up here very shortly. And yesterday we had the Cardinals split a doubleheader with the Detroit Tigers. They stole game one. And won that one at 2-1. Jack Flaherty, you knew he was going to be pumped up for this one.
Oh, yeah.
The Cardinals. 14 batters. Yep. Tied a career high or a new career high for him in the first game, and the Cardinals scored.
Nine straight at one point, I think. Nine straight Ks.
Yeah. Really pumped up.
Unbelievable. And he still took
some. And he still lost.
Still gets a no decision.
Yeah, that's what happens with the Detroit Tigers.
Yep.
Also, Shelby Miller coming in there. Also, another former Cardinal. Mm-hmm. He took the loss.
Of course.
There with the Cardinals putting up a two spot late. But Detroit got him in game two.
Yep.
They won 11-6. There. And isn't that just how it is? The Cardinals steal one. Great pitching. Kyle Gibson again in game one. And then the complete opposite there in game two. Steven Matz, a little banged up with some back issues, but due to the doubleheader and the short turnaround today, still had to trot him out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he exited pretty early on there. And Detroit was able to put up 11 runs. And Cardinals put up six, but pitching let him down in game two.
Yep.
Of that one. So just a nasty split of the doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
And we got more action today, though, for the
Michaelis will be on the mound for the Cards.
Yeah, there you go. I knew. I thought he was supposed to pitch yesterday, but they pushed it back. And Mieda going for the Tigers opposite him there today. And also the Mets, they picked up the win over the Cubbies there. Yep. 4-2.
Lost that one late.
Last night, a 3-run homer by DJ Stewart.
Yep.
Who?
Yeah.
DJ Stewart.
Yes.
And he picked up the dub.
I remember Ian Stewart, and I remember DJ LeMahieu, but.
Nope.
And then did you see, Travis, that we went to a baseball game in Milwaukee and a boxing match?
I did see that. I did see that brawl.
Oh.
Hey, who knew that these two teams would have such bad blood with each other?
Milwaukee and Tampa. The only time they're going to see each other is the World Series, I guess. So get ready.
Yeah. Minnesota stayed hot. I see they beat the White Sox again.
Yep. The sausage, man.
It's sausage. Working.
Keep it going.
It's working for them. Nine in a row.
Yep.
For the Twins.
However, they still are not in front of that division.
Hmm. And Imaga going today for you.
Yeah,
later
it's a win.
On in New York.
It's a win. Put it on the board.
4.90 ERA.
Can you believe
for Imaga.
Travis, the Twins with their, you know, 9-game winning streak are still 3 games out of first in the
I
Central
know.
And 4th in the Central.
Wow. That's crazy.
Ugh.
Shows you how good Cleveland's been.
Well, Cleveland, Kansas City's 18-13. The Tigers are 17-13.
Yeah.
Every single one of those teams is ahead of the Twins.
Mm, wow. So that's what we got. We'll clean up the rest of baseball coming up here in the pod, and we'll also talk about the NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs as well. Welcome back in. Starting lineup here on a 98.9. Not here on 98.9. I'm just
That's
throwing
okay.
all off.
That's okay.
30 seconds snuck up on me.
It did. It happens to the best of us.
We're here in overtime. We're in the podcast now.
We are. But you can get it at fgamradio.com and wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And make sure you like and subscribe, especially coming up soon. You're going to want to like and subscribe. Smash the subscribe button. Leave us a review so you don't miss an episode of the starting lineup.
Yeah, we're chugging along on a milestone.
We're getting closer.
So
I haven't quite figured out what day that's going to be yet, but we're getting closer. That's all I know.
We're zeroing in on a few dates.
Yep, yep.
But we got some stuff to clean up. We still got to talk about the playoffs.
Yep.
From last night, Stanley Cup playoffs, and see whatever else we can get into.
And I do have some Sports Center for you if you want.
Oh, well, you made a Sports Center.
Well, I'm doing it on the fly, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I want to talk two more things about baseball. Three, actually.
Okay.
As well as this day in sports history.
So let's continue the convo.
All right.
About baseball, then.
Well, we will, first of all, Travis, Mike Trout.
I know.
Torn meniscus in his knee.
Sad.
Are you still the best player when you don't play every game?
You know, I knew you would bring that up. And that's what ticks me off about people like you and with his injury. That's what people are going to think about Mike Trout, is that at one point in time, he was.
He was.
Not, and at one point in time, he was a five-tool player.
Yep.
But he decided, I guess he did it to himself.
He did it to himself, Travis.
He stuck with the Angels.
Don't blame me.
Well, I will blame you because we had that conversation about him playing a full season.
Yep.
And that occurred right around the time of 2018 and 2019. And he hasn't played a full season since 2019, since we played that clip, since we started that clip. So I will blame you. So added to the list of players that Eric has injured, Zion Williamson, Aaron Rodgers, and now Mike Trout continues to have injury issues. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for ruining the best player in baseball. It has nothing to do with him playing with the Angels.
It has everything to do with him playing for the Angels, Travis.
I know.
He decided to stick out in L.A. He decided to stay with the Angels.
Yeah.
It's his fault.
I know.
And he can't get
up. And he had such a great start to the year, too.
I think that's my problem, Travis.
He tied for the major league lead right now with home runs with 10.
Yeah. But
I was going to pick him yesterday for dingers. Thank goodness. We had a great dinger Tuesday yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we'll talk about that.
Had such a great start to the year.
And to me, that going back to it, that is the annoying thing to me about Mike Trout, Travis. Is, you know, grew up Jersey, right? So he's not a West Coast kid. We've always heard that. Oh, I want to stay on the West Coast.
He's a Philly fan.
Yeah. I wanted to stay on the West Coast. I wanted to... You know, I grew up here, and I want to stay on the West Coast. He's not that.
No.
It is his lack of emotion about being upset about playing on a subpar team.
Yeah.
You don't ever hear Mike Trout coming out and calling out the team. You don't hear him calling out management. You don't hear him calling out anybody. You don't hear him, even when Anthony Rendon is saying baseball's not my top priority, Mike Trout really didn't call him out for that either.
No.
He is complacent, and that is why he is not the best player in baseball anymore. Pure skills, 100% he was the best player in baseball. His attitude does not make him the best player in baseball because he rests on it, and he is not fighting to get out of LA and be on a winning team. He's not even fighting to make the Angels a winning team. We haven't heard anything about him trying to convince Ohtani to stay or trying to bring in free agents or anything like that.
Yeah. Just not the personality that he is, unfortunately.
Then you can't be the best player in baseball. Because, again, you aren't trying to make your team better.
He's definitely gotten surpassed by that. Oh, yeah. I definitely don't think that anymore, but that's the problem. He was.
At one point,
and people are going to not realize that. Now that he keeps getting injured and can't play a full year.
But again, he was based solely on his skills. His attitude always held him back. Because he wasn't a go-getter. He wasn't trying to win. He wasn't out there. And I know, maybe that's not his personality type.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be the face of baseball and not be that outgoing personality.
Yeah, and I guess maybe if he was going for rings and chasing rings, that would affect his legacy. Because look at Kevin Durant.
Yep.
The legacy that he's left. So he's not going to miss the rest of the year, though. It's only 4 to 6 weeks, though, with this surgery. So
Travis, here's the perfect example. Mike Trout has never been on the cover of the show.
No.
How can you be the best player and not be a cover athlete?
Now, that seems to be Major League Baseball's problem. I mean, he's not going to campaign to be on the cover of a video game. I think that's baseball's fault for not marketing him better. That's always been a problem.
Well, but he's not being marketed better because he's stuck on a subpar team. And it's not like we've had amazing players be, you know, no offense, Andrew McCutchen. I know Trout wasn't around in 2013. Andrew McCutchen was a cover star. Miguel Cabrera was a cover star. Yasiel Puig was a cover star. Josh Donaldson was a cover star. These aren't...
And Puig was a phenomenon.
Yeah.
For a hot second.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, those guys I just listed off were never in consideration of being the best player in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout was.
Yeah.
And because he was on a no-win team, a never-win team, that not only were they not winning, they were looked at in baseball terms as the little brother in the same city.
Mm-hmm.
Because their rivals across the street, I know they're not across the street, but their rivals in L.A. were spending money and winning.
Yeah.
So I think that made it look worse. It'd be one thing if he was in Oakland, for example, and there's nothing else going on there.
Yeah.
But when other people are coming and winning championships at the other team in town, it just makes you look bad that you decide to keep staying with it.
Right. No, it's just sad.
It is. 32 years old, Travis, is what's his career trajectory now? Are we on the downhill? Are we plateauing? Are we past plateauing?
Yeah, I think we're kind of past.
You think we're heading down.
We're heading down, I think.
We're on the downhill.
Yeah.
Mm.
After another injury.
It's sad.
Yeah. I think so.
He is a perfect example of the saying, nice guys finish last.
They do.
For all extents and purposes, he's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we've heard, he's a nice guy. He's a caring guy. He's a loyal guy. And this is where it's gotten him.
Yeah. After the shortened COVID season, Trout's played in 237 of a potential 486 games over the ensuing 3 years. 2021, he suffered a strained calf in the middle of May, wound up missing the rest of the year. In 2022, had a back injury, caused him to miss a little bit more than a month. And then in the middle of the summer, and in 2023, Trout suffered a fractured bone in his left hand during the month of July, returned for one game in August, but didn't come back for the rest of the year. And now he's going to miss some time with this.
Yep.
Meniscus. Mike Trout. Going to be a big what-if story. What if if he stays healthy? What if he goes somewhere else besides L.A.? Doesn't sign a long-term deal.
Yep.
Unfortunately, then.
He's going to end his career with one team, which is admirable.
But never win a ring.
No.
And only getting to a playoff series once, and the Angels got swept.
Hall of Famer?
In doing so. Ooh.
I say no. I say no.
I mean, you might be right on that.
And how odd is it to say that? I mean, as we talked about before, eventually everyone's going to get into a Hall of Fame because they're going to run out of people.
Exactly.
But I just
22 homers shy of 400.
Number, I'll give him that. If he gets to 400, he may have a chance of getting in.
Over 1,600 hits.
That's not enough.
Career batting average of 299.
I mean, that's a good batting average, but I think you got to have 2,000 hits to get in.
Right. Yeah, there's minimum. A lot of
emptiness.
A lot of batting that's left on the table there.
And if you think about all the guys who maybe didn't have 2,000 hits, they all had rings.
Sure.
Now, Trout is an MVP, so he's got that going for him.
Yep.
So, anyways, continuing on, Travis.
Continue on.
My other baseball thing was the hero of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a two-time MVP?
Three-time MVP.
All right, that'll help him.
Rookie of the year, 9-time Silver Slugger, 11-time All-Star, 2-time All-Star Game MVP.
He may get in then.
Overall Defensive Player of the Year once.
Depends on who else lasts.
Yeah.
We may have to explore that.
I have to revisit that later, yeah.
The hero of the night on the baseball diamond, Travis.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't even in a uniform.
Well, he was in a uniform, just not a baseball uniform.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And that would be the gentleman, as the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks was delayed nearly 2 hours due to bees.
Yeah.
That's right. Swarm of bees gathered
two
on the top
hours.
Of the protective netting behind home plate, causing the length of the delay. So a beekeeper was called in to remove the bees. He removed those bees and then got to throw out the first pitch.
Nice.
In his beekeeper uniform.
Nice.
That's
love
awesome.
I love it.
I don't care. Like, could you imagine being the person who's supposed to throw out the first pitch? And like, you're there waiting and you've waited the 2 hours and they come up to you and be like, you're off. The beekeeper's in.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how the Cubbies do things, but the Cardinals have a ton of first pitches.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's like that everywhere else. So,
the ceremonial first pitch. This is the important one.
Well, yeah.
So.
But beekeeper saved the night.
Saved the night there.
And the Diamondbacks ended up winning. Made it all the more special.
Closed
Walked
the
it
roof.
Off. Yeah.
Closed the roof.
Well, you got to with those swarm of bees.
That's right.
Glad he dealt with that.
Oh, yeah. Not
me.
Guy.
Nope, neither am I.
Nope.
Dodgers won, or Diamondbacks won 4-3.
Yep.
In 10, thanks to a Christian Walker. 2-run home run for a walk-off.
Mm-hmm.
Win the hero, beekeeper, though.
Beekeeper. Beekeeper man.
I think I mentioned the Twins getting the win over the White Sox there, continuing their 9-game winning streak, and White Sox 6-24 on the year. Marlins, they are in the win column as they won in a walk-off as well, 7-6 over the Rockies. So Baltimore winning against the Yankees 4-2. Royals won 4-1 over the Blue Jays. Red Sox got the shutout against the Giants 4-0. Brewers and Rays ended with a brawl, but Brewers ended up winning the game 8-2. Rangers 7-1 over the Nationals. Astros will walk it off with them as well in extra innings to beat the Guardians 10-9, as it was Victor Caratini, the 2-run home run for the win. Phillies did end up beating Mike Trout's Angels 7-2-5, home run a couple of times in the ninth inning, prevailed them the win. Mariners got the win over the Braves 3-2. Padres 6-4 over the Reds, and finally the A's winning against the Pirates 5-2, and now both teams have the same record. Both are 14-17 on the year. So, Pirates started out good again, faltering coming into the month of May. We also have the Rays and Brewers closing out their series, Twins and White Sox here in the afternoon as well. A's batted against Lugo. Pirates A's finishing up their series. Chris Sale going for the Braves against the Mariners. Zach Wheeler on the bump for Philadelphia against the Angels. Sandoval going there for them. Reds and Padres, Musgrove, you know, for San Diego. Corbin Burns going for Baltimore against the Yankees. Go to Hudson against Munoz for the Marlins. I already mentioned Amiga going for the Cubbies later against the Mets. Red Sox Giants closing out their series. Hinny going for the Rangers against the Nationals. Verlander on the mound for Houston against McKenzie for the Guardians. And Yamamoto going against Jordan Montgomery for the Dodgers and D-backs. Thought Jordan Montgomery was supposed to go last night, but maybe with a delay with the bees.
Oh yes, that was because he was all warmed up, ready to go. All right, I'm doing some more reading on this bee thing, Travis, and this is awesome. We're gonna go more into this. Here we go. Okay. So it happened after the national anthem. There was just a couple there, and suddenly it turned into a thousand bees. So, it was an hour and 55-minute delay. And this guy, Matt Hilton, he is the branch manager of the Blue Sky Pest Control Office in Phoenix. He was watching his son's T-ball game 45 minutes away, and he got the call from the Diamondbacks. We always talk about guys getting the call to head to the big leagues. He got the call.
Wow.
He raced. He apologized to his family, got in his truck, raced there. There was a golf cart waiting for him. Gets on the golf cart, puts on his beekeeping stuff. They have a scissor lift.
Lift
him up. He does his job, gets rid of the bees, and he pumps the fist in the air. The crowd chanting his name. Well, not chanting his name, but they were cheering wildly as Bonnie Taylor's I Need a Hero is playing in the background.
Yeah, the musical people knew their assignment.
Oh, yeah. And then throughout the first pitch, he said it was a little nerve-wracking. He was planning on just doing his job and leaving. So he got to throw out the first pitch. But the best thing, Travis, was it was a walk-off win for the Diamondbacks.
Yep.
And the player who hit it, Mr. Christian Walker, has become an avid student of bees after he purchased YouTube videos on doing beekeeping. And so he said, beekeeping is on the list of things to figure out. So I've honestly been watching a ton of YouTube videos on it. Obviously, it was cool to watch him do it out of there. Wow. How about that? How that all ties in. How crazy.
Amazing.
So, yes.
What a story.
Matt Hilton, you are the man. He has a story that he can share forever.
Wow. Crazy how all that is tied together. Storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You have anything else on baseball?
No, just some entertainment that we will talk about a little bit later.
Our dingers?
Yeah.
Okay. Last night in the NBA, we had two potential closeouts, but did not happen.
No.
76ers stayed off elimination. They won in overtime, won 112-106. Maxey goes off in the fourth quarter, and 46 points for Maxey as Philadelphia wins game five. Series will go back to Philadelphia, and the Knicks up 3-2. 112-106, though. 76ers with the win. Jalen Brunson, 40 points. Not good enough to win an OT. As they said on the broadcast, Knicks fans felt it. They tasted it. But to be.
Maxey proving that shoot-around doesn't matter.
No. It was Embiid who missed shoot-around.
And Kelly Oubre.
19 points, Joel Embiid had, 16 rebounds, 10 assists, a triple-double.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you miss shoot-around. You get a triple-double. So much for that migraine. See, hey. That's why you miss shoot-around. You get a triple-double.
Yes, but for every Embiid, there's a Kelly Oubre Jr. who had 14 points, 4 rebounds.
Yeah. That was important, too. But
Maxey's 46, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And Kyle Lowry, what are you doing? 0-for-4, no points, 26 minutes. The ghost of Kyle Lowry out there for the 76ers.
Well, at least he didn't miss a free throw this game.
That's true.
He didn't even shoot any.
That's true.
So, Philadelphia alive for one more day. So are the Bucks. Bucks won over the Pacers, 115-92. Milwaukee did this without Dame Lillard or without Giannis. Pacers, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Can't close it out against Milwaukee's best players without them. So, I guess I'll wait for game six back at home.
Yeah, they got to get Caitlin Clark on the court to give him some of that magic.
Or at least just be there in attendance. Tyrese Halliburton, 16 points, but that was the only player that was really significant for Indy, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had Bobby Portis Jr. and Chris Middleton, and both with 29 for Milwaukee.
Yeah, they led it. They both stepped up. Mm-hmm. Former Bull there, Bobby Portis Jr.
Yep. So, Indy up still 3-2. And it was Cleveland who pulled forward 3-2 as they won by a single point there, 104-103 against the Magic. So, Cleveland now leads that series.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's three games that happened there last night.
Yep. All those series now 3-2, like you said.
And these, Boston leading 3-1. Taking on the Heat there in Boston, 6:30.
No Porzingis. He has been
out. Yeah, he's going to be out for a few games, a few weeks, they said. And then the Mavericks Clippers, like we told you about over on 98.9. Game 5, series tied at 2 games apiece. No Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers. Luka is a little banged up. He's going to go in this one. Dallas is favored by 3.5. If you're interested in that. And Boston favored by 14.5 in that point spread.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Last night in the NHL, we had 2 series come to a close. As all of them, we had 4 potential closeouts, but only 2 of them were actually closed out. Carolina finished off the Islanders, and 3 goals in the first period, 3 goals in the third period, 6-3 winner. For Carolina, winning that series 4-1, and the Avalanche won over the Jets 6-3, and Colorado wins that series 4-1. Learning Tree was not able to get any rub off the Jets.
Nope.
There last night. Mm-hmm. Toronto staves off elimination for 1 game. They won this one in overtime 2-1. Over the Bruins, but Boston is still in control in that series, leading 3-2. And the Predators, they also got a staved off elimination. 2 goals in the third period was able to get them the win over the Canucks, 2-1. Vancouver still leading 3-2 in that series. And we had Carolina, they'll advance in the next round to take on the Rangers in round 2 in the Eastern Conference side, as the winner of that Boston and Toronto series will take on the Panthers, and Colorado will be awaiting to see who advances against the Stars and Knights, and that game will be on tonight for that game 5, with that series knotted up at 2 games apiece in Dallas at 6:30, then the Kings and Oilers, with Edmonton leading 3-1 at 9 o'clock on ESPN. Another late night for Oilers fans.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner of that series will take on the winner of Vancouver and Nashville in round 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that's the games that we got going on there tonight.
Sounds good.
Let's see. Is there anything on SportsCenter
that we haven't got to? No, we covered most of it. I did just have this one thing come in about F1, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, F1 going to be in Miami this weekend.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's the first of 3 F1 races in the U.S. this weekend. Well, because of that, not because of that, but the timing of it, I find rather funny. A dozen U.S. Congress members want answers from Formula One about the exclusion of former world champion Mario Drudy's team from the sport. The bipartisan group sent a letter Wednesday to Liberty Media, which is the owner of Formula One. The letter calls the decision to keep Andretti Global and General Motors from competing a, quote, unfair and wrong attempt to block American companies from joining Formula One, end quote. They also said it could be a violation of U.S. antitrust laws. So we'll be on the lookout for that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there is a U.S. F1 team, it's Haas. Haas has a F1 team. But apparently, because Mario Andretti could not have his team in it, it's a lawsuit now. So.
Oh. Well.
Because they have nothing else to do there in D.C., I guess. I don't know. But
sure.
Just came across. Want to share that with you.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Very well.
And the Broncos are not keeping Zach Wilson.
They're not.
No, they're not picking up his option.
So. Oh.
In case you were wondering on that one. And Tiger still plans one event a month. So. There you go.
Hey, he finished the Masters.
He did finish. Awfully, but he finished.
Dead last.
Dead stinking last. He finished worse than guys who missed the cut.
Yeah. He did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. All right. So, let's see. You need to clean up. I mean, when we do this well on entertainment on Dinger Tuesday, we need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Dinger Tuesday yesterday, the best Dinger Tuesday we've ever had.
I agree.
Because Eric went with Riley Green.
Yes.
For the Tigers.
For the Tigers.
He played the averages.
Yes. And only 5 home runs on the year, but I'm like, hey, he may play 2 games.
Played 2 games.
So because of that, we're going to take a flyer on him.
He played 2 games.
He did play in 2 games.
And he had a home run in both games.
And he hit a home run in both games.
Unbelievable.
I wish I would have actually put entertainment on that.
Unbelievable. I heard that in game 1 sitting in here in the studio. And I almost texted you that. And then in the second game, I saw they hit another one. I was like, oh my.
Yep.
What are the odds?
I wish I would have had some actual entertainment on that one.
Unbelievable. Hit 2. And then my pick, Juan Soto, went deep in the Yankees game.
Yep.
So we both hit on Dinger Tuesday.
We did. I mean, that's a double win.
We can't even get 1 on most days. You got 2 and I got 1.
By the way, just so you know, Riley Green was plus 475 today. He's plus 475 to hit a homer. So if you take that times 2, just use numbers.
Pretty good entertainment.
Yeah. If only. If only.
Mm-hmm. But what could have been?
What could have been? That's right. And now we probably will not get another Tuesday right for the rest of the year.
Hey, you know, we'll take it, though.
However, I do want to point out, Travis, that I am a perfect 2-for-2 on Dinger Tuesday this year.
A perfect 2-for-2, huh?
I'm a perfect 2-for-2. April 2nd, I picked Cody Bellinger. Then the next week, I was out that whole week. Didn't do a show. Forgot last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week, Riley Green. So, I'm perfect thus far. So, we just need to keep it to doing 2 a month. That's it.
You're doing pretty good, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That means it's all going to come crumbling down, because that's what always happens.
Of course.
By the way, Riley Green today has better odds of hitting a homer than Juan Soto does. How weird is that?
It's odd.
So, all right.
Well, I mean, Juan Soto is facing Corbin Burns.
Oh, that's true. Yep, that's a good reason. All right, you want to talk anything else? Maybe some college athletics or anything?
Well, what in the world is happening in college athletics?
People are getting ready for drafting. People are getting ready to be drafted into the NBA.
That's not what I heard yesterday.
Oh, what'd you hear?
I mean, I heard people getting all up in arms and then forcing a kid to put on a Twitter to everyone to calm down.
Oh, are you talking about Mr. Coleman Hawkins?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Keeping his name in the draft.
Yep.
But entering today the was the deadline to enter your name in the portal, and he entered his name in the portal.
Yep.
Rewind a few years earlier. This is the same thing that Kofi Coburn did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that Kofi came back and played one more year at Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So calm down, people, about putting his name in the portal, covering all of his bases here. So do not put much stock into that at all. And he said he's 100% in the NBA draft, which means he's going to go with the Kofi line. And we get another year of Coleman Hawkins. Looking forward to that.
Again, Travis, your optimistic point of view is great. There is one difference between Coleman Hawkins and Kofi Coburn.
Mm-hmm.
Kofi never came out and said, this is probably my last game in an Atlanta uniform. And Coleman Hawkins said that after the loss against UConn. He said, this is probably my last game in an Atlanta uniform.
Probably.
And for his NBA draft stock and everything he said, he should not come back to Illinois.
He should stay in the draft?
He should either stay in the draft, get drafted late, or he needs to go somewhere else. And here's why. His talents, Underwood will put him as a five. He's not a five. That's not helping him in the draft. And he has said he wants to grow and he wants to learn and he wants to expand as a basketball player. Him playing the five doesn't help him.
He played really well at that position this year.
That's not his position. I think it's best for Coleman Hawkins, if he has to go back to college, to look at going somewhere else. And I will not hold it against him.
No.
Because he has done everything that he was supposed to do for Illinois.
Absolutely.
And he did everything. But when the coach is not playing you the way you know as a player, and he has said, obviously when he put his name in last year, he wants to go to the NBA. That is his end goal. It is nothing against Illinois. He wants to go to the NBA. That is, like you said, he's 100% in on the draft. If he's a late second round pick, which is where some people are projecting him, he'll make more money in NIL.
It came out, I think, I forgot who first initially reported it, that he was putting his name in the transfer portal, and then that prompted him to release a statement to Atlanta Nation, with everyone freaking out about another person entering their name in the transfer portal. The first paragraph is really all you need to know. His intention is to 100% stay in the draft. I'm fully focused on that process. I wanted to make sure I take every opportunity to protect myself in case of injury or any unforeseen circumstance down the road.
Yes. Which, again, that is his right. That is what he can do. And that's what he should do. Protect himself.
And he said, relax, LOL.
Yep. But again, for me, myself, I do think that for him, his best interest is to look elsewhere if he's coming back to college. Because that is where he can thrive, because he's done everything he can do at Illinois as far as being put in that five.
That was successful, though.
But that's not going to help him in the NBA. He needs to go somewhere where he can show off his talents that the NBA scouts are looking for.
I really only see two options here. I only see him staying in the draft. Or I don't see him going anywhere else.
Mark this day, May 1st, 2024, Coleman Hawkins will not be in an Illinois jersey next season.
Yeah, he'll be playing in the NBA.
Well, he will not be in the NBA. He may be in the G League.
Or either way.
Where, again, he will make more money going back to college and doing NIL.
He definitely will.
So I do think that for him, it's best for him to go somewhere else.
Hmm.
Because he needs to go somewhere where he can grow as a player. He's not going to grow as a player at Illinois because that's not what Coach Underwood will play him.
I don't know.
And that's not him, again, that's not him saying anything about how he does not like Illinois, isn't loyal to Illinois, or anything like that. That is for his best interest.
I'm sure. He's already played 4 years here, and
yes,
he's given everything that he could.
Yes. And Coach Underwood has said, hey, I want him to try and go to college and everything like that. I just think, again, that Coleman Hawkins, Travis, whether you like him or didn't like him, he had some times where he didn't make decisions that I liked, put up one too many threes at times, stuff like that. He did everything that you would have wanted him to do at Illinois.
Yeah.
He was loyal to his word when other people were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Could have came out last year. Could have transferred last year.
Yeah.
Didn't do either of those things. Stuck around for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Getting, as he said, getting his degree.
Yep.
At the University of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
That is everything that we asked of him.
Yeah.
So why should we be upset if he wants to make himself a better player?
Well, it won't be. I mean, some fans will be, but...
Some fans will be, absolutely.
I won't.
Will you?
No. No, I'm a reasonable fan.
Well...
Optimistic, yes. But,
I appreciate that.
But reasonable.
We as Illinois fans just need to go, you know what, Coleman, good for you.
I think for the most part, that's the sentiment.
Provided he doesn't go to, like, Purdue.
I mean, he would do that just to be a troll.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, provided he doesn't go to Purdue.
West Virginia.
Yeah, there's another one. So,
I don't know if he had a close relationship with Coach Frazier, but
I'm gonna read this, Travis. This is from 247sports.com. It says Hawkins is keeping his options open. May the return to Illinois sound unlikely, but seems focused on making the leap to the NBA. Mm-hmm. Hawkins is not a consensus draft pick, though some draft experts project him as a late second round pick. But if Hawkins returns to college for a final season, it could be in another uniform. Hawkins would be one of the best available stretch forward options on the transfer market and would command a hefty NIL price, potentially more than he'd make guaranteed in the NBA if he is a candidate for a two-way contract, which guaranteed pays about $500,000 for the entire season. Illinois has already added multiple front court pieces via the transfer portal and is still trying to get one or two big men. Would Illinois wait for Hawkins to make his decision on May 29th? Hawkins would want to likely play it at the four to display more of his skill at that position, especially on defense for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, I think this was my last year in an Illinois uniform. I think a time comes where every good thing must come to an end. I feel like I put a lot into this program. It's not against anybody. I'm a senior, obviously, so I have options. But me personally, I feel like I want to really start developing and getting a lot better at basketball. I feel like I've got to take a next step to get there. I feel like this is my last game in an Illinois uniform. I think I want to take a next step and really just develop my game and just get better at basketball. I feel like that next step is at another level.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like someone who is not coming back.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying. So don't
And it was just after a loss, so you're emotional. You weren't really thinking clearly, so I mean, how much stock can you put in that?
The other thing is, Travis, as it said there in the article, Illinois has moved on. They've already gotten guys to fill that position.
Yeah, but anybody better than Coleman? No. Sure, we've got some pieces to fill in, but...
But we talked about depth, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about how this... And you, even being the optimistic fan you are, Travis, will admit that this Illinois team, as of May 1st, is lacking some depth.
Yes, on May 1st. Yes, we are.
Yes. So what I'm saying is, if Hawkins comes back to Illinois, those pieces who we've already signed are going to say, well, wait a minute, I'm not getting any more playing time. I'm going back to the portal.
You can't.
You can.
You can't. It's closed.
No.
After a certain time, it's closed.
They could just sit out.
They could. It's just a waste for them.
Like I said, I'm convinced he is not going to be in an Illinois uniform.
He's either not going to be in an Illinois uniform or he's in the NBA. That's the only reason he's not in an Illinois uniform.
I would put lots of money on it.
Okay.
So, we'll see the start of basketball season. Actually, we'll see in like a month.
Yeah. Whenever the draft for the NBA
is. The 28th is the final day you can withdraw from the draft and keep your college eligibility.
27 days.
Yep.
Until then. Or you visited then, I guess.
Until then, you just keep hoping, Travis.
Keep on believing.
Yep. You poor sap.
Poor sap.
You poor optimistic fan, you. Mm-hmm.
There's worse things to be fans of. To be optimistic about.
Uh-huh.
I'll say that. All right. Is that all you had?
That's all I had. Illinois did add somebody, but I don't know how good he is.
Yeah, it's kind of a small sample size. He played at a smaller level before he went to Evansville. Yeah. He's a forward.
Yeah, got some height.
Yeah.
So.
Ben Humerkaus.
Yes. Averaged 14.9 points and 4.7 rebounds last season for Evansville.
Mm-hmm.
Scored 29 points in a game against Chattanooga.
Tipton, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's from.
Hey, but you know what? You get Antigua, Coach O looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Coach O can help him.
Yeah. Bring out the best.
Mm-hmm.
Shot 42% from three.
Now, with everything we just talked about, Travis, and I still, like I said, I 100% feel that Coleman Hawkins will not be back in an Illinois jersey. If he does come back to Illinois, it'll be because of Coach O. And wanting to work with Coach O.
Sure.
That's the only reason I could even possibly entertain a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But other than that, he is not coming back to Illinois. I think he wants to end it on the best team he could. And this past Illinois team, with the amazing run it went on, the furthest it had gone since 05... was the best team he could have left it. Anything else post... It's kind of like postscript on a book.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like, well, we're adding this in because it happened, but it's not nearly as good as the book itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Coleman Hawkins wants that for his Illinois career.
No.
I think he respects Illinois too much to do that.
He does, for sure.
He doesn't want to come back just to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that all makes sense.
We will agree to disagree on that front.
That we will.
All right. You want to do this day in sports history and we'll get out of here?
All right, yeah, what do you got for this day?
All right, on this day in 1988, Michael Jordan put up 55 points on a 24-for-45 shooting from the field while making all seven of his free throws to lead the Bulls to a Game 2 win in a series they would win in five. This is one of Jordan's five career 55-point playoff games, giving him as many 55-point playoff games as all other players in NBA history have combined for.
Wow.
No other player has ever done it more than once. But... LeBron is a better player.
Yeah.
LeBron has never had 55 points in a playoff game. Just saying.
He hasn't needed 55 points.
Yeah, because he hasn't won as much.
He's relied on his teammates.
Yeah, exactly, he's because he teammate. Has to be surrounded by good teammates in order to win.
Says Michael Jordan, who had a Hall of Famer as a teammate.
Who became a Hall of Famer because he was with Michael Jordan.
LeBron doing
How
more
many
with
Hall
less.
Hall of Famers do you think we're planning on coming out of Central Arkansas?
Probably not very many.
Exactly, my point. On this date in 1991, Ricky Henderson steals third off of Yankees pitcher Tim Leary in the bottom of the fourth inning. It's Henderson's 939th career stolen base, surpassing Lou Brock for the most in MLB history. Henderson still had another 1,336 games left in his 25-year Hall of Fame career and ultimately finished with 1,406 steals. Tim Raines, by the way, is the only player to debut in the last 40 years to get halfway to Henderson's total. So, that one's never getting broken.
No.
They're trying with the bigger bases, but it's just not.
I mean, Ronald Acuña Jr.
It's not getting broken.
Yeah.
On the very same day that Henderson broke the stolen base record, 44-year-old Nolan Ryan threw his record seventh no-hitter, establishing another nearly impossible record. Ryan's no-hitter included 16 of his 1,437 strikeouts after turning 40 years old. He fanned all nine members of the Blue Jays lineup, including future Hall of Famer Roberto Alomar, three times. Only six pitchers have gotten to even three career no-hitters, and it wasn't just good luck either. In addition to his seven no-nos, Ryan collected 12 career one-hit complete games, tied with Bob Feller for the most in the live ball era. So how about that, Travis? On the same day, two impossible records that'll never be broken were both established.
Wow. Yeah.
In the same sport. Because no one's getting seven no-hitters.
No.
No. Verlander has three. He's the closest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's...
And he's at the end of his
career. Tail end of his career, yeah.
On this date in 1997, Rex Chapman's off-balance three-point heave off a perfect Jason Kidd pass sends the game to overtime, where Seattle wins behind 28-7-14 from Gary Payton and 24-20 from Sean Kemp. The Sox would go on to win the decisive Game 5.
Hmm.
On this date in 2005, Lionel Messi scored his first career goal for Barcelona after coming in as a late sub. On this date in 2021, the Thunder lose to the Pacers 152-95 for the largest home loss by any team in NBA history.
Wow.
Now look at where the Thunder are.
Yeah.
That was 2021, mm-hmm. just 3 years later.
Wow. How far they've come.
I know. And finally, on this date in 2022, Julio Rodriguez hit his first career Major League home run, coming off of 2022 Cy Young winner Sandy Alcantara in a 7-3 win. The homer came at Lone Depot Park in Miami, about a two-hour flight from Rodriguez's native Dominican Republic.
Nice.
Yep. So, there you go. And Sandy Alcantara has never been the same.
Yeah, you know, he's been hurt. He's hurt now.
Yep. So, all righty.
All righty.
That does it.
All righty, then. We'll call her a day, then. That'll do it for today's show. Short edition.
Yep.
We'll be back, though. No problems the next couple of days. Cardinals are off tomorrow as they travel back to St. Louis. Start a series with the White Sox on Friday.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Hopefully that's a sweep.
Well, they just could then beat the Rays.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Playing some of their best baseball of the season right now are the White Sox.
They lost... back-to-back games here.
They doubled their win total over a weekend, Travis. They did. I mean, that's playing some of your best baseball.
It's sad, but true.
Yep.
So.
And remember, this was a series. I said, if you lose 2 out of 3 to the White Sox, that's when you need to look in the mirror and go, this is not working.
Yep, we put it down.
Yep.
That was the series to look at. So. We'll be back for it tomorrow and recap everything that happened in the playoffs tonight. So until then, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we will talk to you tomorrow. We are out of here. So peace out.